Hello to all Earth citizens and welcome to my Conscious Coaching Podcast. This is Dr. Kianush, founder and creative director of MCCG. My Conscious Coaching Group is a non-political, non-religious 501c3 coaching nonprofit with initiatives in healthcare, leadership, and education with focus on emotional and spiritual intelligence. Our vision is to raise self and global awareness for a conscious mind through education and application of EQ and SQ, and our mission is to connect, collaborate, and partner with hospitals, academics, colleges, and medical schools and organizations to embrace growth, self-healing, and self-coaching to achieve well-being and peak performance of individuals and the team as a one connected whole. Today, our special guest speaker is a dear friend and colleague of mine, Dr. Bruce Grayson, who I know through IANS and our related conversations about my own near-death experience. Dr. Grayson is Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry and Neurobehavioral Sciences at University of Virginia School of Medicine. He was a co-founder and president of the International Association for Near-Death Studies, known as IANS, and editor of the Journal of Near-Death Studies. Dr. Grayson has published more than 100 scholarly articles about near-death experiences in peer-reviewed medical journals and 3 academic books. He has addressed more than 100 national and international professional conferences. His research for the past 4 decades has focused on near-death experiences and particularly their after effects and implications. His book, After, A Doctor Explores What Near-Death Experiences Reveal About Life and Beyond, is his first trade book, bringing his scientific research to a popular audience. Welcome to MCCG Podcast, Bruce.
Oh, thank you so much, Kianish, for inviting me.
Thank you for being here and contributing to our cause. Bruce, let us know, how do you like our audience to know you personally or remember about you?
Well, that's a great starting question, Kianish. I think I'd like to be remembered as someone who cared about other people and treated them with kindness.
I really love that. And I think you being here for me is an example of it, and for the cause that we believe in as well.
Thank
Bruce,
you.
As co-founder of the IANS, can you tell us a little bit about the history of it and how it was established and why?
Right. Well, no one had heard about near-death experiences or NDEs until 1975, when Raymond Moody published a book called Life After Life, in which he gave us that name. Uh-huh. Shortly after that, he started hearing from a lot of researchers around the country who wanted to study this phenomenon. And what he decided to do was invite them all to a conference at the University of Virginia to talk about how to do that. So he did. And out of that meeting, several of us formed this organization called IANS, I-A-N-D-S, the International Association for Near-Death Studies. They included psychologist Kenneth Ring, cardiologist Mike Sabam, sociologist John Audette, and myself, a psychiatrist. We originally had in mind to form a group to support other researchers in their lonely pursuit of near-death experiences. But it soon became obvious that a greater need was to support the near-death experiencers themselves, who are often having trouble integrating this unusual experience into their, quote, normal lives. Now, some 50 years later, IANS is still going strong. It publishes a quarterly scholarly journal, a newsletter. It has annual conferences, and it has around 50 local support groups and a number of online groups as well.
Yeah, thank you so much, you know, for funding this. I mean, personally, for me, it has saved me from lots of confusion. And now, as you know, I'm part of these great organizations, you know,
yes,
the online sharing groups. And it is really important for many people to have access to these organizations, you know, and the resources and the services that they are providing. Why do you think, Bruce, that our healthcare and mental health professionals and psychiatrists, therapists, and even coaches need to know about the NDEs and overall spiritual transformational experiences, which we call them STEs?
Well, for one reason, most near-death experiences occur in some healthcare setting, so that doctors and nurses are the first people to hear about these experiences from the people who have them.
Yeah.
And how they respond to the near-death experiencer is critical in whether the experiencer can then integrate the experience and feel comfortable with it or feel like they have to keep quiet about it and not share it with anybody. Some experiences do need support. And if the doctor or nurse tells them it's just a hallucination, forget about it, that does irreparable harm to them when they try to understand it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm a great living example of it. I had the experience, and just my husband being a physician, my son being, you know, a physician, I didn't share it with anyone until I got home a couple of weeks after, because I had no idea what was the experience about. And I always say it was wonderful if I had the pamphlet, I mean, including with my, you know, admission, you know, paperwork, and telling the patients about that, what is the near-death experiences, yes, and how they can have some resources or helps if they are experiencing such a things, among, I mean, the other paperwork that we are receiving.
And exactly.
And why do you think, Bruce, that NDEs are not hallucination that caused by the brain? So that was my question myself from my own self, and, you know, and
right,
the physicians around me.
Well, I started studying near-death experiences 50 years ago from a materialist perspective. I didn't know anything about the spiritual world at that time. And I assumed that these experiences were hallucinations and we'd find some simple physiological explanation, like lack of oxygen to the brain or drugs given to patients or chemicals produced by the brain. And one by one, we've been able to test all those hypotheses and found that they were wrong. They just did not explain near-death experiences. What you see in an NDE is very complex thinking, perceiving, memories. And these are just not compatible with a brain that is sometimes impaired and sometimes completely stopped. There's no way the brain can explain how people have what they call the most elaborate experience of their lives when the brain is not functioning well. On top of that, there are some phenomena within the near-death experience that just cannot be explained by any simple brain mechanism. For example, many people, when they have an NDE, will describe leaving their physical bodies and then seeing things from an out-of-body physical viewpoint while they were totally unconscious. And they often describe not just expected things, but totally unpredictable and unexpected things, which doctors and nurses around them can later verify, yes, that did happen just the way the patient said. Beyond that, many near-death experiences say that they encountered in their NDE deceased loved ones. Now, skeptics can say, well, this may be just expectation or wishful thinking. But in many well-documented cases now, the experiencer saw someone who was deceased but not yet known to have died, so that no one had any reason to expect that they were going to be seeing them in an NDE or wanting to.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, in my case, I even was waiting to forget it, like that it may have been a dream, but it wasn't a dream. So
right,
it wasn't a hallucination. It wasn't a dream. It wasn't something that you can forget it. It's just like that the light has been turned on and you have seen a reality that there is no way that you can ignore it.
That's right.
Yeah, in your personal opinion or by your experience or researches, how do you think that the NDEs are changing people's lives?
Well, as fascinating as the NDE itself is, what's more interesting to me as a psychiatrist is how it changes people's lives. You know, psychiatrists and psychologists work very hard to get people to make fairly modest changes in their lives. And here you have an experience that in a matter of seconds can totally transform someone's attitudes, beliefs, values, behavior. We have nothing else that is nearly that powerful. The most common thing people report is that they are no longer afraid of death. Along with this, they paradoxically have no more fear of living. Now, you may think that doesn't make sense, but actually, when you think about it, if you're not afraid of dying, then there's no reason not to take chances in life and enjoy it to the fullest, because what's the worst that can happen? You die, which is not so bad.
Yeah.
And when I first heard this as a psychiatrist, I started worrying that, is this going to make people more suicidal if they hear that death is nothing to be afraid of? So I did a study of this. I looked at people who had suicide attempts and then had a near-death experience as a result of that, or didn't have a near-death experience. And what we found was that those who had a near-death experience became much less suicidal after the NDE, not more suicidal.
True.
On top of this, many people say that after the NDE, they become much more spiritual. And by that, they do not mean more religious. They tend to become much more connected to other people, to the natural world, to the universe, to the divine. And that makes them feel much more connected to everyone else, and therefore much more compassionate and caring about other people.
Yeah.
Along with that increase in spirituality, there's a decrease in material things, in wealth, power, prestige, fame. And we see this in their behavior as well. They become much more altruistic. They sometimes change their relationships and their careers as a result of these attitude changes.
Yeah, I can really relate to that. As you know, so as a healthcare, you know, research scientist, after my NDEs, my life completely shifted to go for coaching profession. Gradually, it didn't happen in one day or one month.
Yes.
So
yes.
There is a, like, a, what they call it, the caterpillar phase to find what's your calling and mission in the world. And I can see that that example with many NDEers that had the same experiences. And we have a lot of these examples in your book.
Yes.
Yeah, that we call After. So can you tell us about that? First of all, who is this book for and how does it help? So,
right. Well, the book, which was published 2 years ago now, is basically a summary of my half century studying near-death experiences and what I've learned. And in it, I quote about 100 different near-death experiences and describe the research that we've done to study these phenomena. And as you said, I give a lot of good examples of people who had out-of-body experiences and saw things accurately, of people who saw deceased loved ones who had not yet known to be dead, people who had very elaborate life reviews in which they not only viewed their lives from their own viewpoint, but also through the eyes of other people involved in those incidents. And we see a lot of these strange phenomena that are repeated again and again from people in all different cultures, all different religions, and going back through the centuries. We have accounts from ancient Greece and Rome and Egypt that sound just like the ones we hear today. If I had to summarize what I've learned from all this research, I'd say first that near-death experiences are incredibly common. Studies in several different countries have shown that NDEs occur to about 5% of the population. That's one in every 20 people. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Secondly, they are totally normal experiences that happen to normal people under abnormal conditions. They have no connection whatsoever to any type of mental illness. Near-death experiences really lead to profound changes, both positive and negative, that need to be addressed in order for people to have a fulfilling life afterwards. And then near-death experiences make us question the relationship between the mind and the brain, whether they are totally separate things. And if they are, does that mean that the mind can survive after the brain dies, after the body dies? And probably the most important thing that people learn from a near-death experience is that we are all interconnected. And that leads near-death experiences to embody the golden rule, which is a part of every religion we have, and basically says that you should treat other people the way you want to be treated. If you hurt them, you hurt yourself. But for near-death experiences, it's no longer a guideline we're supposed to follow, but it's a rule of the universe, a law of the universe, just like gravity is. Who is this book for? I think it's for anyone who's concerned about death, anyone who's concerned about the mind-brain issue. I think it really helps us deal with the fear of death that's so common and the fear of life.
Yeah, definitely. There is lots of answers in your book. So I recommend everyone. This book is for everyone. It's not only about the death, it's about the life and the way of living as well, including, you know, many research examples that you have mentioned in it. So, and is there any room to your opinion with all being said about, you know, the life and death, you know, and the afterlife for spirituality, or rather to say for emotional and spiritual intelligence practice in our healthcare system? And if there is, where and how and who they can benefit of it?
I think in the last century or so, doctors have become more and more focused on the physical care of their patients and totally neglecting the spiritual care. And they're really interconnected. You can't really treat one without treating the other. And I think spiritual concerns are very important to our patients. And those attitudes, their spiritual concerns they have, influence how they feel about illness and about healthcare. And if we as physicians ignore that, then we are not really understanding what's important to the patient. And that may affect whether they follow our advice, for example, in what we prescribe for them. I think spiritual health and well-being profoundly affect people's physical health and well-being. So if you totally ignore spiritual health, then you're doing the patients a disservice and not really helping their physical health as well. People need to know, not just physicians and nurses, but everyone needs to know that the physical and the spiritual are intimately connected, and you can't affect one without affecting the other. Healthcare workers need to appreciate that and not keep ignoring the spiritual and just treating the physical as if it stands alone.
Yeah, so true, Bruce. And I love it the way you put the word spiritual health. So, and it's part of our well-being, and just as much as important it is, our emotional well-being and emotional health, our spirituality and spiritual health is part of us as a one whole. And being that said, at the end, do you have any recommendation for our audience or healthcare professionals if they want to start, you know, just knowing more about this work? So except reading your book, what else they can do?
Well, let me give you a bit of good news first. Because there's been so many reports from near-death experiences about doctors who did not respect their experience, we did a study recently at the University of Virginia, studying hundreds of doctors at the university, asking them about how they felt about near-death experiences, what they thought they were, whether they thought it was right for them to address these things with their patients, and whether they felt competent to do so. And the good news is that overwhelmingly, the doctors said that they respected the experience as a real experience that really happened. They didn't agree on what causes it, but they all agreed that it was an important event in the patient's life, one that they needed to know about. And they felt that it was part of their job, really, to talk about this with their patients. However, they didn't really feel competent to do so. And they were desperate for more information and asked for more information. We also asked about what they thought were the barriers to talking about patients, about their near-death experiences. And much to our satisfaction, things like thinking that the experience was a hallucination or not important or just a simple mental illness, almost nobody said those things. Most people said the biggest barriers were their own lack of information and the lack of time they have as a physician in having time to talk to the patients. So these are things that can be addressed. We can give better education to doctors and nurses about how to deal with these phenomena. And try to restructure things so that they have more time to spend with the patients and listen to them. In terms of everyone learning more about near-death experiences, I would recommend the International Association for Near-Death Studies, www.iands.org, which has a very elaborate website with lots of resources, printed materials, online materials. They have conferences, they have workshops, all of which have a lot of information that's available for people. They have also pamphlets addressing certain specific phenomena like unpleasant experiences or experiences in children or experiences related with suicide attempts. And there are, through IANS, support groups you can attend either in person or online to get further help.
Yes, thank you very much. And as our audience probably know, these sharing groups are free. So they are provided almost, you know, every weekends, and they are free of charge for the public, and they can attend that just by registration.
That's right.
And yeah, thank you so much, Bruce, for your contribution, for your time, and just being here today with us. We love you and we appreciate you for all you have done for the humanity and for the IANS, you know, organizations, and for the healthcare professional and community as well.
Well, thank you so much, Kayanish.
Goodbye to our listeners. And remember, one podcast at a time. Thank you for being with us for another one. You can visit our website at myconscious.org to learn more about us, or write to us at coach@myconscious.org. And please stay connected by following us on our social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, not to miss our upcoming episodes and events. Love and light from all of us to you. Make it a great day, everyone.